How are we doing today? Good to see you guys. Welcome to Zao Church. Want to greet all those here in person in our overflow spaces and those watching online. I'm going to tell you all about it, but our students are on their way home from camp watching online. Can we give it up for our students? Make some noise in the house, Zao Church. Shout out to Zao High for what an incredible week. We had an incredible time at Motion Conference in Birmingham, Alabama. We had an incredible time together. Us and 17,000 other students from across the nation. It was as a seasoned youth pastor, been to many camps and conferences, this was one of the best, and our kids are coming back completely transformed. And so, just to show you how incredible it was, let me take you to Motion Conference 25. Check out this video.
That's the law, new sheriff in it, ooh, KB on, passing bars, I'm a lawyer in the booth, I ain't never seen nobody do it like this, like owns every inch and I rule it like this, like look at my world, that's a little like drip, only go to my list, I'm like, who did I miss? Let it breathe, ooh, cool, let it breathe, yeah, peace, peace, Jesus, that's my creed, ooh, Michael B, yeah, he bossing, don't be a clown, but you're not it, worship in a marsh pit, I'm in this palm like the tropics, Men and women get in it, they get it, then they live again. Good and generous, definitive, that's from the Genesis. Unlimited, inhibited, look at all of these witnesses. Give you the business, taking body, homie, get finished it.
I couldn't help it. Sing my song, yeah.
Hey, we pray anyway.
Yeah. Don't worship in the mosh pit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How many of y'all want to go to Motion Conference 26 now? It was so awesome, and these kids had such an amazing time, so many amazing moments with Jesus. This conference is the largest youth conference in the nation, brought in some the best speakers in Christian youth today. They brought in Passion, did a conference, a whole concert for the students. Y'all heard of Passion before, one of the largest Christian worship bands. Brooke from Hillsong came in and did a concert. It was absolutely incredible. Some of the biggest names in Christian music and speaking were there. It was an awesome time. And these students are coming back changed, on fire for Jesus. And I can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do through them. Students, I'm so proud of you. You're watching online. And today is Next Gen Sunday. The goal was to have them roll in about 7 a.m., have some donuts, and be here serving and in worship and speaking and doing some different things. And we ran into some troubles last night. So they say, hey, Pastor, you got to preach on Sunday. I've been with them all week. Like, you we're going to fly you home, and you go home and get a good night's sleep, Pastor. And we're going to bring them home. They're going to be great. And so I get on a flight yesterday about 4 p.m. I leave the students. I come here. And I get home. I'm kind of going through my message. It's about midnight. And I was about to go to sleep. And I get a phone call. Hey, Pastor, the bus just broke down. About midnight. About the time students are about to go to sleep. And have a little night-night and come home. And be ready to pull up. And those poor students were stranded. I don't know how else to say it. And we were calling everybody we could call. I tried to charter a plane. I mean, I'm like, I'm trying everything. Who do I know? Who can I call? And so it yes, you were one of them. man who has planes and buses. And so, perfect timing. We do all these things, and there were some crazy, like they were stuck on the side of the road. We got them off. This amazing police officer showed up, and he stayed with them all night and escorted them. It was just, there's some God moments in this, and these poor students were stuck for about 4 hours in nowhere Louisiana with no AC, and they're tired from a week long at camp, and they're stuck, and so we moved heaven and earth, and we were praying, and an angel of the Lord came, we were calling everybody. Finally, somebody picked up at 3 a.m. and drove and picked them up, and sir, if you can hear me on the loudspeaker of the bus, God bless you. Thank you for picking our kids up. Like a bus company, he just happened to pick up, and he's bringing our kids home, and so our kids have had a very, very long, rough evening. They probably are on no sleep. But here's the good news, 11 a.m., they're going to pull up about the end of our service. So instead of it being at the beginning of the first service, it'll be the end of the last service. And this is what I'm asking you to do. We're gonna hang out. I mean, we're going to hang out as long as you can, and we are going to greet those kids as they pull in to Zayo here at the end of service, okay? So, all that being said, I haven't slept. The whole goal of me coming home was to sleep. I didn't sleep, y'all. I've had so much coffee, I'm shaking, okay? So, a few lattes, and I'm ready to rock. Thank you, What's Up Brew. All right, so, you cannot hold what I'm about to say against you, okay? Because I may say something off the cuff in this message, okay? But I do believe God has a word for you today, and I'm so thankful that you're with us today. One last announcement I do want to say is, man, God is moving in such a powerful way, and it's such a great timing. Next Sunday begins 21 days of prayer as a corporate prayer as a church. We're going to gather together for 21 days and seek the Lord as we kick off the fall and enter into this new school year. I'd encourage you to join with us. We also have these 2025, the second volume of the year, devotionals available for you out in the lobby. We'd love for you to pick one of those up and read the Word of God together with us and lean in. We start next week. We'll join every weekday at 12 o'clock at lunch to pray together here live at Zayo. You can also stream online, and we're going to pursue God together. And here's what I know to be true. Every great revival that has ever happened within the church, within Christendom, it all began in a prayer gathering, and most of the time it involved young people. And so we're asking you to lean in, because I believe God has something for you as we enter into this next season of 21 days of prayer, all right? Today, I'm concluding. I'm in rare form, okay? I'm concluding the discipleship series, a series called Disciple. Have you enjoyed the series so far, church? In this series, we're taking an in-depth look at what it looks like to be a true follower, a true disciple of Jesus. What does that look like? How can I be a disciple of Jesus? We're taking a deep look in this series. And here's what a disciple means. It's a person who follows Jesus, is being transformed by Jesus, and who's committed to the mission of Jesus. And this is what we're going through. This is how we say it in this series. A disciple is someone who's with Jesus. That was week two. Who is becoming like Jesus. That was last week. And today, who is committed to doing what Jesus did. A disciple is with Jesus. A disciple is like Jesus. And a disciple is for Jesus. My hope and my goal is that you are becoming a disciple of Jesus because you attend this church. What does that mean? It means that you don't do the same things you used to do before you attended this church. You're not the same person you were before you accepted Christ. You don't say the same things. You don't behave the same way. You don't hang out with the same people. You are different because you are discipled. You are becoming in the image of likeness of Jesus. My hope and my dream for this church is that we have a church that's transformed by Jesus. And people look at this church and they say, man, there's something different about the radical Christians over at Zao Church. Yeah. Something different. It's probably in the name, but it's something different about those people. I want to be marked as true believers, true followers, true disciples of Jesus, that we actually do what the Bible says to do. And the theme verse for this series has been Mark 8:34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross, and they got to follow me. So in week one of the series, we kind of kicked it off by looking at what it means to be a disciple. And we looked at during the days of Jesus, how Jesus would call people into discipleship. He'd simply say, follow me. And then they would become a disciple. They would respond to the invitation of Jesus to be a disciple, and they would follow Jesus. They'd walk with Jesus. They'd learn from Jesus. They'd listen to his teachings. And they were a disciple. They were known as followers of the way. And Jesus is calling people into discipleship today, just like he was back then. Week two, we looked at the first step in becoming a disciple according to that definition, which is to be with Jesus. The first step for you is to be with Jesus. If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, the first thing you have to understand is, what does that mean to be with Jesus? And it comes from this word, abide. We look at this passage in John, this idea of abiding in Jesus, that Jesus, you are the true vine. You are the trunk, you are the tree, we are the branches, and the fruit of our lives is leaves. It's what comes out of us, but the only way we produce leaves is by being connected to the tree. We talked about this like a modern-day illustration would be this power source, that Jesus is the power source, and the only way that we can produce fruit in our life, which would be light, if we're a lamp, is to be connected into the power source. The only thing for you to do in this life is to abide in Jesus, I promise you. And when you abide in Jesus, you will bear the fruit of abiding in Jesus, which is the fruit of the Spirit. But when you do not abide in Jesus, your fruit is the fruit of the flesh, which isn't good. So we got to learn what it means to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus. And today, last week, I'll go there, is to be like Jesus. We looked at what it looks like to be like Jesus. And it's going to require a transformation for you. We talked about how over time, we have been unintentionally transformed spiritually through stories we have heard, through habits that we have adapted to, through relationships that we have had, and through the environment that we live in. But to be like Jesus, we need to be intentional. We need to take control of this transformation process the Bible talks about, and we need to do it through intentional spiritual formation. So we looked at how to do that, and we close with this question. I hope this is kind of something you wrestled with all week. In 20 years, what does life look like for you? Because how you live your life now will dictate what your life looks like in 20 years. If you're not happy with how your life looks like now, things need to change. Or else you're going to wake up 20 years from now and it's going to be the exact same thing that you were dealing with 20 years ago. Today, I want to conclude the series by looking at that third point and becoming a disciple. According to our definition, here it is. Let's take a look at this final one. A disciple is someone who is with Jesus, who is becoming like Jesus, and who is committed to doing what Jesus did. Today I want to look at what it means to do what Jesus did. What does it look like for us to live a life for Jesus, to actually walk in the footsteps of Jesus and be his hands and his feet? If you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message as we finish up this series is For Jesus. For Jesus, that's what we're going to talk about today. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the move that you are performing in this church. God, we thank you for the next generation. We thank you that you are igniting a fire within them. And they're going to come back from camp on fire for you, ready to change their community, change their school. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of young people. And God, I thank you for this series. I pray you'd speak to us today about what it looks like to do what you did and live a life for Jesus. And all Zayo said, amen, amen, amen. Y'all good?
Yeah.
I'm coming from youth camp. They just like yell. Like I'm like, y'all good? Let's go. All right. In the 1990s, there was a very popular fashion craze that hit the universe. 1990s. You know what it is? It's the WWJD bracelet, okay? The fashion craze that most of you participated in. How many of y'all had a WWJD bracelet? Come on. How many of y'all still wear a WWJD bracelet? Students, how many of y'all have a WWJD bracelet? WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, the original idea of this bracelet came from this man named Charles Sheldon in 1896. He wrote a book entitled In His Steps, what would Jesus do? He was a church pastor, and he wrote these sermons, and each week he told a different story out of a chapter in the Bible, and he later turned this kind of into a novel, a narrative, a story. It was about a plot about a guy who would come to church, and then he would leave church unchanged, and he would cause problems. And the pastor of the church encouraged his people to live their life asking this question, what would Jesus do? This changed their town. This changed their area. And then in 1990, a youth group leader in Michigan printed these bracelets for her youth group, and the rest is history. At one point, they were printing 20,000 of these a week, and it's estimated there's over 52 million of these out in population. It's an interesting idea to ask yourself this question, what would Jesus do? WWJD. If we want to do what Jesus did, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Well, to understand what Jesus did, the first thing we have to understand is, what did Jesus talk about, if we want to understand what Jesus did so we can do what Jesus did? Who wants to guess what the number one thing that Jesus talked about was? I'll tell you, Jesus, the number one thing that Jesus talked on, preached on, communicated on, was the kingdom of God. That's the number one subject Jesus preached on, was the kingdom of God. You could say that all the teachings of Jesus centered around this idea of the kingdom of God. So what did Jesus talk about? He talked about the kingdom of God. What did Jesus do? If we want to ask ourselves, WWJD, I want to do what Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus established that which he was talking about, which is the kingdom of God, everywhere he went. So, if you and I want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to do what Jesus did, you need to be about the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was about the kingdom of God. Jesus wasn't about sports. Jesus wasn't about school. Jesus wasn't about politics. Jesus wasn't about a profession, possessions. Jesus was about the kingdom of God, and we should be too. So with that in mind, let's take a look of what did Jesus do? How do we emulate that? I want to look at this. I'm going to look at the what, the how, and the why. On why do we do what Jesus did, okay? So here's the what. Follow me here. Here's point number one. Here's the what. What is the point in doing what Jesus did? Why do we even need to do this? What is the point? And to ask what is the point of doing what Jesus did, the real question is, what is the point of ushering in the kingdom of God? Because that's what Jesus did. Let me show you how Jesus worked. We read the scripture in week one, but I want to revisit it here. Matthew 4, 18 through 25, it says this. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, hey, boys, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. See, Jesus, we talked about this, he just got out of schooling at 30 years old, and he needed to find disciples. The very first thing a teacher did, getting out of school, or a rabbi, he would go and recruit disciples. Follow me, follow me. And this is not a cliche way of saying it. This is actually what they said. A teacher would go out and they would say, I want to teach you to fish for men. And here Jesus is inviting these two brothers to follow after him. I'm inviting you into discipleship. Verse 20. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed after Jesus. Like we've seen this before, the call from Jesus to follow him was such a strong and prestigious honor. Like not everybody got called into discipleship, and Jesus calling these men into discipleship, and they immediately left all that they knew to be familiar and comfortable, and they followed after Jesus. Verse 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. There it is. and he healed every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, and those having seizures and paralytics, and he's healed them, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis and to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. What Jesus became famous. He had a reputation. And what made Jesus famous was that he preached the gospel. He preached the kingdom of God and he healed people. Spoiler alert, that's what we are to do as well. Come on. Only Dustin believes it, but that's fine. Because I got a bus full of students, I promise, that are agreeing with me in this. What were the disciples of Jesus doing when Jesus was doing what he was doing? They were watching what Jesus was doing. They were learning from what Jesus was doing. They were waiting to do what Jesus was doing. And then Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we read the rest of this story, how Jesus brought the kingdom of God to earth. I want to go through this progression with you. Here we go. We're starting Matthew 8 right here. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go to the other side, and a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." "Jesus, whatever you're selling, I want it. I love what you're doing. Like, you got good vibes. Like, I'm in this. Like, I'm down for what you're doing. Like, whatever you're in, I'm going. Like, let's go together." And Jesus said to him, "Yeah, right. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but me, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay his head." Like, bro, you want to come, it's just not going to be fun. We don't have a hotel. We're going to be broke down on the side of the road pursuing Jesus. And another one of his disciples said to him, "Well, God, first, let me just go. My dad just died. I got to go bury him. I got to take care of that." And Jesus said to him, "No, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." The message of Jesus is a radical message, but it drew people to Jesus. It was a new message, a new teaching, a new yoke, a new way of living. Some people came to Jesus hungry and eager to serve him. They heard about him. They heard about the things Jesus was doing, and they go, "I want to follow him." Ready to drop their nets, ready to leave their jobs, leave their families, and follow after this rabbi teacher named Jesus. And others came to Jesus just intrigued. "Man, I find you interesting, Jesus. What you're saying, I think I'm in. I like this." But they would quickly find excuses why they couldn't follow him. Sound familiar today, in today's culture? There's something about Jesus that intrigues us, draws us in. I want to know more. I want to learn more. Jesus has been drawing people to himself for 2,000 years. But here's the rub. Once Jesus draws you in, you have a decision to make. You either leave your former life, your old way of living, the old way of acting, the old way of behaving, the old way of doing the things that you used to do, and you pursue Jesus. Or you stick with what you got, you don't change, and you simply see Jesus from afar and find him fascinating. It's interesting, but I'm not willing to change my lifestyle. So here's another chapter later, Jesus in Matthew 9, verse 35, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and what did he do? He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. And what did he do? He healed every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." There it is again. The job description of Jesus, the mandate of Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's preaching the kingdom of God. He's preaching the gospel, and he's healing every disease. And then he looks for people to send out. He said, "I got a job offer. I got a need. I want to send some people out." And that word "send out" is a derivative from the Greek word where we get the word missionary. Jesus asking, "Hey, I need some missionaries to be sent out into the world. Those who have been changed by the gospel, have been under the teaching of Jesus, and are ready to do what Jesus has asked them to do, that I can send out as missionaries into this culture and into this world. Skip ahead another chapter, Matthew 10, starting verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 were sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, now give it without paying. You received it. All the things of God and all the things that you needed in your life, I gave it to you freely. Now you get to go give it to others freely. Amen. So Jesus calls to himself 12 followers, 12 disciples, and he says, you're missionaries. And I have a job description for you. I'm going to send you out into the world to do exactly what I have been doing. And guess what? Jesus is still calling people today and sending them out with the same job description. Amen. You can clap. Okay, Christians, what's the job description? What is Jesus giving us an option and an opportunity to do? Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Simply put, it's to preach the gospel and heal the sick. That's our job as believers. And by the way, this right here mandate and everything I just read to you, it's not Pentecostal, it's biblical. Sometimes we get all weird about some of the things that Jesus has instructed us to do. I don't know, Jesus. That sounds a little weird. I really want to follow you. I want to be your disciple, but I don't know about the list you just gave me. It actually sounds a little weird. It sounds like something the devil wants. Christians, this is what Jesus has instructed us to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. I don't know how to, I got to tell, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to be a follower of the way, you got to do what your teacher is asking you to do. We don't get to make it up. Like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm gonna make up my own job description. How would that go at your business? You have an employee who just makes up his own job description. Does what he wants to do. Skip to the end of the book of Matthew and something that is known as the Great Commission. Maybe you've heard this before. This is the final words of Jesus. He says this to the church, Matthew 20, 18 through 20, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Like, get ready. I'm about to give you something. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything. Teach them everything to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is the Great Commission. As believers in Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, this is the job offer. This is the charge of Jesus. We saw him do it with his disciples, and he's doing it today. He's offering it to you and I today. Here it is. Make disciples. Baptize disciples. Teach disciples. That's it. There's a trend. There's a trend in the teachings of Jesus. Jesus calls people into discipleship. Hey, follow me. I'm inviting you into something special. And then those people who are invited, they drop everything familiar. They leave what they know to be true, comfortable. They leave. They leave it behind. And then they start to learn from Jesus and become like Jesus. And they adopt the teachings of Jesus as the way of life, the source of truth in their life. And then Jesus looks at them. This is the trend. And he says, I called you. You learned from me. Now go and do what I've showed you. Go do what I've taught you. You want to know what the point of all of this is? Being a Christian, to do what Jesus did, to live a life for Jesus. Here it is right here. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. raise up disciples. That's it, church. I know you thought it was to vote Republican, drive a SUV, and live in Lake Travis with other white people. I know that's what you thought. But this is the mandate of Jesus. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise up disciples. We don't get to make it up. I think we have, as Christians, we've distorted the calling of Jesus and made it into something that it was never intended to be. We've lied to ourselves. We have believed in this lie that following after Jesus is something that Jesus never intended for it to be. I don't know what you thought the point of being a Christian is, but it's to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise up disciples to do the exact same thing. So that's the what. What's the point of doing what Jesus did? So that we can live this life of learning from our teacher, and then Jesus turns around and goes, I think you got it now. Go get them. Go get them. I send you out. Go get them. That's the first thing. So that's the what. Let's look at the how. Okay, that sounds good, but how do I do what Jesus did? How do we usher in the kingdom of God like Jesus did? How do we preach the gospel? How do we heal the sick? How do we raise up disciples? Pastor Dustin would love to meet with you and talk to you all about that. And I mean that seriously. How do we do what Jesus did? That's the second point here, okay? Now, let me just simply put, by being a disciple. I'm sorry, that's so simple. It's elementary. But being a disciple is how we do that. Okay, let me give you the four stages of discipleship. I want you to see, maybe apply this to your own life. If you've started a job, you probably went through this process of like an apprentice or a disciple. Watch it. This is the process of being a disciple. You have someone who does, so I do, and then you watch. Like, watch what I do, learn, and then I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to ask you to come do it with me. We're going to do it together, give you an opportunity to try it out. And then I'm going to step back. I'm going to let you do it, but I'm right there next to you. I'm going to help you. If you need me, just tap me in, you know? And then the final stage, then you're going to do it. I'm going to step out. I'm just going to watch. I'm going to cheer you on. That's you probably started your job this way, right? This is the process of discipleship, starting a new thing. I'm at an interesting point in my life. There's two things I know to be true about me. It's been affirmed. The calling of God on my life has been affirmed through prophetic words and just the Lord moving. But two things I know to be true: Lord's called me to pastor, and He's called me to lead. So I really lean into God. How can I be a better pastor, and how can I be a better leader? And over the past several years, I've just have felt God nudging me to do more leadership as well. I get approached all the time to operate in my leadership gifting. I get asked to help, in teams and even like negotiate business deals. I'm not even a businessman. Mediate conversations, come and provide input into businesses. I am a pastor. I just have a strong leadership gifting on my life, and I've been invited into many conversations and businesses within our community, and it's been an honor. But then I kind of go, I probably should really figure out what I'm talking about. You know, I have a great track record of leading, but I wanted kind of more. I wanted some real tools in my tool belt. I went to Bible school. I got all these Bible, biblical, theological tools. I want some good leadership tools. And so Pastor D and I committed to entering into a long process, a year-long process, into getting mentored and discipled into a school of leadership. And we are in the process. It's a long process that we've committed to, but it's an exciting process. And as I'm entering into it, it's a specific leadership group that has a specific leadership IP, and we're learning from them because we want these tools in our toolbox because we know it'll help people. But this is how the process has gone. Like, they facilitate a meeting of a business, and they do it, and we watched. And then they did it again, and we helped them, and we interject after we learned the material. And then we had to do it, and they were there to help us. And then finally, they're like, now you go and do it. And now we get to go and do these things that the Lord's called us and asked us to do. But I love this process. This is the process of discipleship. And Jesus, following Jesus, it's no different. Jesus used His disciples to carry out the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? It's the kingdom work of Jesus. And we read it all throughout the four Gospels. I'm going to give you the list here. Here's the kingdom work of Jesus, and this is what we are to do. We are to preach the gospel, teaching the way, healing the sick, casting out demons, eating and drinking with people far from God, doing justice, peacemaking, praying, prophesying, standing up against religious and political corruption. This is what we're to do. That actually sounds fun. Some of that stuff, I'm like, yeah, let's go. When you are a disciple of Jesus, this is your end goal. But yet, this is where I lose people. Because you may be thinking, man, that I don't see myself doing any of that stuff, right? Like, that's for the super saved. That's for the super Christians, you know? I'm not Jesus. Like, isn't that his job? Isn't that what he did in Scripture? And that's what he does? I got to tell you, church, the Bible was written as a new way to be human, not as a history book about things Jesus did. Like, it's for us. If we would tap into it. It's not a history book. It's instructions on how we are to adapt our life to the teachings of Jesus. And for the past 200 to 300 years, there's been taught within the church that there is a physical world, the one that we live in, and a spiritual world, one that we can't see, and that those two worlds, they don't collide. We don't talk about the spiritual world much in our culture. But what I love about that list is it brings these two worlds together. I mean, think about it. How can a man heal another man? How can a woman cast out a demon out of somebody? It's the merging of the physical and the spiritual. We saw the disciples do it. Guys, we read the Bible and we're like, man, that was really cool that they did that. Like, too bad I can't do that. You can. You're actually instructed to do it. Like, Moses parted the sea. Peter walked on water. Elijah called fire down from heaven, and they did so as human beings, just like you and me. So what makes you any different than them? Here's the big idea. Everything Jesus did, we're going Jesus now, he did as a real, true human being who was empowered by the Holy Spirit as an example for you as disciples to follow. Good. This is for you. Here's some theology for you. When Jesus came to earth, the Bible says that he was the Trinity in the beginning. He came down from heaven. When he came down from heaven, he put his God part aside. He put that aside. He came as a man. Jesus of Nazareth, born of woman. He came as a man. Why did Jesus do that? He did that so he can relate and empathize with you as one human being to another. But he also did it to set an example, to show you what you are capable as a human being. Right. We can't look at what Jesus did and go, oh, that's just Jesus, he was God. That's not correct. He did so as a man to show you that you are capable to do the exact same thing. Amen. No one is excited in church today. I wanted to kick something so bad, and I'm excited, church. I found the cheapest thing up here. Okay. The worship team is freaking out. Big John, I'm going after your bass. Just back. Here's the crazy thought to think about. It's the biblical thought right here. You can do what Jesus did. Let me take it a step further. John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. It's what Jesus has been doing. And guess what? Jesus says they will do even greater things than these. Yeah. I'm asking you, Zayo, to expand your faith today. Expand your belief. You're not just meant to sit here in church and go, that was a great message. Let me go back to my life. You were created for greater things. Amen. Not just to sit in here, go to work, play sports, make dinner, yell at the kids, clean up after them, pay the bills, mow the grass, go to the movies, and then do it all over again next week. We were created to usher in the kingdom of God, to do as Jesus did, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise up disciples. And that's the what. So let's look at how. How do we do it? It's the same way Jesus did it, as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit. When you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you too can usher in the kingdom work of Jesus here on earth. So why, here's the third thing here, we'll wrap it up with this. Why do we need to do what Jesus did? Why me? Why us? I'll tell you. Because Jesus will bring the kingdom of God here to Lake Travis one way or another. But Jesus is so good, he wants to use you to do it. I hope he doesn't use someone else. Use me. What an honor to be used by God. Do you want him to pass over you? He lives for the world. He doesn't take my teaching seriously. He's selfish. They're just going to spend money on themselves. They're just going to live unto themselves. I'll use you. I'll use you. I'll use you. He's looking for people who are saying, God, I'm willing. Use me. Spirit of Jesus lives on the inside of us. And Jesus was made in the image and likeness of God. You were made in the image and likeness of God. This is what Jesus did. This is who you are. This is your job description. This is your identity. This is your calling. Think about it. Jesus is not walking the earth today healing people. He was. We read it in Scripture. It's amazing to see. He's not doing it today. But the Spirit of God that dwells inside of the believer is here today performing miracles. It's the Spirit of God within all of us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. The Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, ready to usher in the kingdom of God here, ready to heal the sick, ready to raise up disciples. You see, Jesus did not preach a message, you got to get this, about us leaving this earth to go to a heavenly kingdom, which is what a lot of us think it is. Jesus preached a message about us bringing a heavenly kingdom to earth. Come on, Zayo. What did that look like? Well, there's a theme all throughout Scripture that Jesus would preach the gospel, he'd heal the sick, he'd raise up disciples to do the same. We see it over and over again throughout the teachings of Jesus. Get away from me, demon. All right. A fly is attacking me. It's an enemy. Okay. And almost any time we see this job description within Scripture, it always begins with preach the gospel. It's always listed first. In modern-day Christianity, in the church today, we make salvation in Jesus the finish line. But salvation in Jesus is only the beginning. We live a life of hell, and then we get saved, and we're like, man, take me now, Jesus. Save me from this wretched place called earth. Get me out of here. Like it's the end. It's the finish the race, you know? Cross the finish line. Ran a marathon. I'm done. Take me now. But salvation is only the beginning of our faith journey. Why? Why isn't it the end? Because Jesus can't usher in the kingdom of God through a lost person. He needs believers who are on fire for the kingdom of God, who want to be a disciple, who get saved and say, Jesus, use me. I'm going to usher the kingdom of God here. I'm going to do what you did. Use me. It's like a marriage. You don't get married just to get married. Who would do that? Getting married is not the end. Getting married is the beginning, and now the fun starts. Right? Salvation is the beginning of your new life. God is now able to use you. Now the fun begins. Now the discipleship begins. Get ready. God's going to use you from this day forward. So let me show you a passage of Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God. Mark 1, 14 through 15. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Church, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that is our life right there. Repent and believe in the gospel. We are to teach the kingdom of God. How do we enter the kingdom of God? By repenting and believing. If you refuse to repent and believe, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But once you repent and believe, you get to enter the kingdom of God. And now God wants to use you to change the world. Once we are in Christ, we now get to usher in the kingdom of God. Think about this. Jesus isn't healing the sick today. He's not casting out demons today. His disciples are. Those who have learned from their teacher are. And we don't heal the sick just to show how spiritual we are. We don't even do it to show people how good God is. We do it because that's who we are. That's who God has created us to be. And it's what we do to establish the kingdom of God. We don't stand up against corruption just to be difficult. No, we do so because that's who we are. It's how we establish the kingdom of God. We don't see people living in sin and go, that's okay. Y'all go for it. Hope it works out for you. No. We do it because that's who we are. We want to spur each other on. Iron sharpening iron. We want to help each other out. At Zale, we want to see the church operate in the kingdom of God, establishing the kingdom of God here in Lake Travis as it is in heaven. That's who you are, church. You're a disciple of Jesus. That's the job description. So let me ask you today. It's a hard question. What are you doing with the gospel that saved you? What are you doing with the good old gospel that saved you? What are you doing with the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, that Jesus had to live so the Holy Spirit could come, so that it would reside in you? What are you doing with that Spirit? What are you doing with the authority that Jesus gave you? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I give it now unto you. Listen, church, you weren't saved to sit. You weren't called to coast. You were made for movement. You were designed for discipleship. You were created to live for Jesus and to do what he did. This is more than a series. I believe it. It's more than a Sunday. This is your life. This is your calling. This is the mandate from God on your life. And some of you today need to take the next step in your discipleship with Jesus. Some of you, you've just begun the journey, and that's okay. You've been with Jesus. Some of you are becoming like Jesus. You're learning from him. But now, the end result, it's time to live for Jesus and go and do what he's asked you to do. Amen. To actually step into the life that he's modeled for you. To pray, to serve, to give, to speak, to heal, to love, to disciple. This world doesn't need any more Christians in name only. They need some disciples. So here's my final question for you, Zayo Church, Zayo High, those watching. What are you going to do now? Because the call of Jesus to follow him and to be his disciple still stands. The invitation to do what Jesus did is open for you today. And the Spirit of God is ready right now to fill you, to lead you, to send you, to empower you. At this youth camp, what an amazing time hearing the gospel and hearing these impactful, inspirational messages. And I love how they concluded the whole conference. We're in an arena, 17,000 people. You saw it. There's lights, there's smoke, there's confetti everywhere. It was incredible. And they get to the end and they say, hey, we're going to turn all the lights on in this place. Turn all the lights on. Like they're shutting it down. There's a huge band in the middle. Hey, no music. Completely quiet. And they had the students take this Motion Plus Me card. It was the altar call of the conference. Students, I want you to write this down. No, you can keep going. I didn't want to. I need it. I like it. It just helps me tell a story better. You okay? Okay. It's my brother. So the students take this Motion Plus Me card, and they fill out what God is doing? What is the motion from here? What is my takeaway? What is my application? What is my next move? What is God speaking to me? And the instructions was for them to fill this out. They're all sitting down, 17,000 people, in complete quiet, complete silence. They fill out this card, and their instruction, when they're done, was to stand up and yell at the top of their lungs, "Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Jesus, send me. I'm ready to go to my school. I'm ready to go to my community. I'm ready to go to my family. I'm changed. I'm different. I'm transformed. I'm a disciple. Here I am." What a beautiful picture of what being a disciple is. Here I am. I just wonder, church, this morning, I hope you see that maybe Christianity isn't what you've kind of thought it was. It's not the Christianity you grew up in. It's not just about going to church and checking a box and trying to be a good person and living the best life you possibly could live. It's about being a disciple. So it's got to ask you, are you ready to be a disciple? Are you ready to change? Or are you going to be like the many who just sit back and see Jesus from afar and they're just intrigued? Here I am. Send me. I want to pray for you right where you're at. Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads. Church, I'm on fire. Ready to see, and it's probably the faith of these students, but I'm ready to see these schools, these families, this community changed for the message of Jesus, to establish the kingdom of Jesus here. Man, but you're not going to do it if you want to be selfish, if you want to be comfortable. It's just not going to happen. That's okay. You're probably going to go to heaven. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't know what prayer you prayed. I don't know if you lived it out. I don't know. Man, but true discipleship is doing what Jesus said to do, raising up disciples. I just want you to take a moment. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What does it look like for me to be a disciple, to disciple my family, to be a true follower of you, Jesus? What does that look like for you? See, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Just take a moment. God, I'm asking that you would breathe on this church. Pray that Zao Church would be different than any other church, because Zao Church is full of true believers who are true disciples. Not just the Christians who say they're Christians and then go and live however they want, but that they really are living on mission. They really take it seriously that they want to establish the kingdom of God here. I thank you for the calling that I believe that you are and that you have for Zao Church and for those who call Zao home. Thank you for what you're going to do in the future, Lord. Thank you that you call us into discipleship, to be disciples. And I want to close and pray for those who've never committed their life to being a disciple, never committed their allegiance to Jesus, never respond to the invitation of Jesus to be my disciple. If you've never made that decision, I just want to lead you in a prayer. I believe that salvation begins with a prayer, and then it's all about the life you live after. But if that's you, you've never declared the name of Jesus, you never received him, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. Even if you're watching online, just pray this prayer to God. Say, God, today I want to be a disciple. I want to follow Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a life to live. I'm going to take that life and I'm going to live it for you. From this day forward, God, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my future. From this day forward, I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Can we clap and celebrate? Amen.
Would you guys stand to your feet? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, it's real important to us, and I think it's real important to you. If you will take this Connect card out of the seat back pocket in front of you and complete it, we just want to help you with some next steps on what that means to be a disciple. You can complete that, hand it to somebody at a table in the courtyard, or you can drop it off in the offering boxes as you leave today. And let me call an audible. Don't tune out on me now. I want everybody to look at me. If you'll allow this message to mark you, it will. You can keep floating by, just being the Christian by culture, or you can be a Christian by conversion. And if you want to know some next steps to do what Pastor Jared's talking about, casting out devils, raising the dead, cleansing